Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Here's the episode we did with Chris James from Faradine that we did last season, posting it now so you guys can enjoy it. Check it out.
Before we get started today, I just want to say a special shout out to the companies who make this show possible. XOP Gear, who's making really great tree stands and harnesses and saddles, tree climbing sticks. They got pretty much everything you need to get up in the air as a bow hunter and get it done. I want to thank Trophy Ridge to help us bring all the rest you see in the show all the time. Of course, the Whisker Biscuit, what I consider king, because we're always using it here on the show, of course. But Trophy Ridge is also giving you 20% off. If you need it, go ahead and take it. Use code BHP2025. Take 20% off on their website today. You won't be disappointed, and it'll help hook you up. I also want to say a special shout out to Moultrie, who's making the Edge 2 and the Edge 2 Pro cameras, who are helping you get in the field and know when to get in the field with their amazing app, because it's going to give you information about the deer movement. It is really, really cool.
You know, one of the biggest things we got that we launched this year was a new version of the Hypodermic Rage Broadhead. So it's called the Hypo 2, and it is a collared version. So we went back on the collared side because we had a ton of customers that still love the collared broadheads, right? No collar is kind of people that like the convenience of it. People that want a little bit bigger exaggerated entry wound or slap cut, the collar still gives you just a little bit bigger slap cut. And so there's still that customer that really likes that. So we have brought that out, and we actually keyed it so that it's not able to be put on incorrectly. So that was one of the biggest problems we had with the original shot collars, is that if you could spin it any way you wanted to, and you could actually put those blades anywhere you wanted to on that collar. And what that resulted in was people putting it on incorrectly a lot of times. They thought they needed to put the blades in the crack between the two instead of actually in the center of the pedal. And so the center of the pedal is where it works the best. And so we keyed it so that you can only put it in where it goes in the center of the pedal. And you can still rotate it, use all six tabs, which is three shots basically. And when you do that, it works flawlessly, right? You never have an issue. You can't screw it up. And it just makes it super easy and super effective. The big part about that is it's a four pack for, I want to say $49.99. So the four Rage broadheads for the price of three of about everything else. It's a stainless steel ferrule, and we didn't put the coating that we had put on it previously, which is a nickel coating. And that actually makes the tip quite a bit sharper, and it's got a new geometry on the tip as well, which allows for us to have a sharper tip and actually make a little bit more of a cutting edge on it versus previously. So super excited about the Hypodermic 2, the Hypo 2. It really it won an award for best new broadhead at ATA, which, you know, was a huge honor for us. And it's got a little bit, it's like a 4-degree lower angle of entry, so not quite as steep a blade angle going in, so you're going to get a little better penetration. There's six skews. There's a 100 grain, 125, and a standard 2-inch, 100 and 125, and a 1.75-inch, which is our Plus P model, which stands for plus penetration, in case you didn't pick that up. And then we've got 100 and 125 2-inch version of the crossbow version. So overall, six SKUs, and super easy, super simple. They come with four broadheads in the pack, eight collars, so you can get, six shots per head before you run out of blades. So you can use the extra broadhead to practice with. Some people, you know, wanted a practice broadhead. it takes almost as much for us to make a real broadhead as it does a practice broadhead, so we would rather just give you the actual broadhead.
Yeah.
You know, what's unique about Rage is you can pull it out of a target. It's not like some of our competitors. They're not barbed. They actually, they fold back, and they're not going to harvest a lot of foam out of a target. You can't shoot into a bag target, obviously, but any type of foam target you'd be able to shoot it into, and they pull out really nice and easy and don't harvest a lot of material. So
that's
what's new from Rage.
I would say, just throwing this out there, but it's actually funny. I was on a podcast last night, and we were talking about broadheads was one of the topics, and we were talking about these broadheads that were like $100+ for three or two. And I'm like, you know, guys, I was like, it would be very hard as a consumer or even like myself, like, because they asked me like, oh, would you buy these? I said, no, I would not buy these, because why would I? I have other brands besides your brands. So I got Rage, I got Muzzy, all tried and true broadheads for years, 30 years. Yep. You know, I'm saying like this, there is no way I would ever spend $100+ on a pack of broadheads when Rage, Muzzy, and some other American brands that we know of have been around so long that it wouldn't make sense for the price point. And now you're saying you're getting four, which is even better. So it's, and to be honest with you, I don't know if I ever showed you this, Chris. This is my Faraday hunt that you guys took me on. I don't think you were with this group, but this is where I learned that the Rage broadhead is absolutely devastating. Like I killed four animals with that head while I was down on this trip in Texas with you guys. And it changed my mentality on Rage, to be honest, because seeing it go through an Audad, seeing it go through these pigs that are huge, these access bucks, and the Rhea, which is like a bird full of all these feathers, it dominated every single animal. But this was a great experience. And not only that, for media people specifically, this was a very important thing, because this changed my mentality going forward when I talk about anything about Rage. Right. You know, anytime someone says Rage, I go, no, they don't, man. Like, I've killed so many with the Rage. I can't even describe, you know.
Rage broadheads have killed more stuff than winter at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. No doubt. And then, and let me just tell you, Dave killing something too, that's a feat in and of itself. So, I mean, if he could do it with the Rage, you know, that's really saying something.
That's it. Is he right there with Helen Keller on seeing and hitting what he's aiming at?
Pretty much. But we all have those stories, though, man. I tell you.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
That's the one thing about bow hunting is, you know, it is a challenge, you know?
Well, at least just remember, Dave, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take and probably like 75% of the ones you do take. So,
absolutely.
I only missed one shot out there.
Just one shot. Yeah. I got a second shot, so it worked out, but like only one. So
you're 50%. You're 50%. That's not bad.
It's not bad at all. Yeah.
So that's what's new for Rage. You know, then on the release side, we've got True Fire. And so we actually redesigned our Smoke family of broadheads, Smoke and Spark. So that is like our middle price point wrist strap release. You know, it's a pull to open instead of a push to close type lever. It's bias closed. So, you know, those have been around for about 10 years now, and it was kind of time for a facelift on them. So we actually made it increase the kind of ergonomics of the body itself. We changed the jaw a little bit so that it's got a better jaw gap for reduced wear on the D-loop and a little bit crisper release from the D-loop. It also has a nickel boron coating on it, which reduces the friction. Reduces friction, and it's also a kind of a hardening material, which we put it on the inside of all of our handheld releases as well. So it's just going to make it a lot smoother feeling, as opposed to the Teflon coating that we used to use on the jaws of the Smoke. We went to a MEMS jaw from a powdered metal jaw, so we upgraded the jaws quite a bit, changed the trigger, made it to where it doesn't have as much take up in it, so it has less travel from the start. So you can't make it have a ton of travel. Like, it's already got plenty of travel, but before it had probably three turns on the set screw that you didn't need. Right, so we took that out so that it's going to come set at a better setting out of the factory, kind of in the middle waypoint. Feels really great. It's got on the standard
Smoke. What was the name of this one, Chris?
It's the Smoke 2.0.
Is it on the website or no?
It should be there.
All right, I'll find it. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to be getting the first air shipment of them in this week. So if it's not on the website, it'll probably will be in the next week or so. Yep. So we got the Smoke 2.0. The Smoke 2.0.
Just the one on that one?
There's three total. So the Smoke 2.0 and the Smoke Max 2.0 are the adult versions, and then we've got a Spark 2.0 that's the youth version. So it's kind of a family of them. And you've got independent length adjustment, so you can lock the length adjustment down and set it to where it's going to be in the same position every time. They've got the fold-back that True Fire is kind of famous for, the trap tab. It's got a kind of the felt buckle strap on it, so it's comfortable, soft, quiet. And the fold-back can keep the release out of your way when you're putting your hands in your pockets, when you're glassing, climbing the ladder, taking a leak, you know, anything that you need to do. You don't have to take your release off for it. Because you want to have it on your hand at all times. So that's a big feature for it on the Smoke. And then on the Smoke Max, it actually has a secondary set screw that you can loosen if you want it to have 360-degree rotation. So you spin it out to where it's the right length that you want it, lock that down, and then if you want 360-degree rotation, you just loosen the set screw down at the fold-back setting, and it will it'll give you 360-degree rotation. So. That's pretty cool. And then the Max also has a double stitch, double padded strap. It's wider. So I like it because it spreads the weight of your draw weight over a little bit wider part of your wrist. So it's a little more comfortable. You know, some people are like, oh, I don't like that. It's going to be super hot. It's no hotter at all in the summertime. I live in Western North Carolina and was in Georgia before that. And you're sweating everywhere at that point in the summertime. A little bit of extra cloth is not going to make that much of a difference. Trust me. But it is a lot more comfortable. And then on the Spark, we actually shortened the starting position on the length adjustment. So it is a true youth or a small frame release. It's tested to the same strength characteristics, so it's not like it's any less quality by being a youth. It's just made for smaller hands. So like the closest trigger position is closer than it is on the adult, and it has a smaller strap so that it fits better. It's not clunky on a kid's hands. Now, that one has our extreme setting, our extreme connection, so it's not a fold-back. It'll just fall out of the way. Once you shoot, it'll just fall down out of the way. So you can fold. You can actually lay it back, but it won't stay back like the fold-back. But it has all the same jaws and trigger and all the other upgrades that the Smoke has. So we're excited about those. So if you've got a kid or you're a female or you're someone who just has smaller wrists, right, or smaller hands, that regular size releases are just a little too long, or the strap, you're almost in the last hole when you're trying to get the strap on there, and you got a bunch of tagging hanging off. You know, all those are reasons to check out the Spark. And then, you know, on the hunting side, that's really the main thing. We do have a few additions that are kind of recent additions, you know, from last year. We kind of shipped a mid-year, like the Predator Air. That's a new arrow from Carbon Express. And it's a single spine, a full carbon arrow. It's relatively lightweight, and comes with a 32 grain stainless steel insert. And it's our answer to kind of like what the Gold Tip Hunter is, right? Like it's in that same price point. I think it's 030 straightness. So it's a relatively straight arrow, good quality, and we've had a lot of good things out of that one. But that's going to be one of our focuses this year. And you know, we introduced the Maxima red, stone, and drab colors, which are kind of the earth tone colors last year in Carbon Express. Those are still really hot, and again, we started shipping those kind of mid-year, so those are still within their first year of coming out, so a lot of people are still looking for those. And then, you know, on the handheld side, our rivet release that we launched last year is another one that's done exceptionally well. We were behind on that one from about April until September. Well, we finally got caught up on that one. We couldn't make them fast enough. And it's a $100 link style handheld. So you push it to close, and it's a single jaw, and it just really, really functions great. So that's some exciting stuff from True Fire, kind of our recent additions and our new additions. And then probably the one I'm most excited about is our new Muzzy Deviant bow fishing bow. So it looks pretty crazy. It's got this new hybrid lever cam, and it kind of looks like a crab claw. You know, when you look at it, it's definitely different, and it's probably the smoothest bow fishing bow you'll ever shoot. It is crazy, the draw force curve on that thing. It starts off, it peaks really, really fast in the draw cycle, And then after 4 or 5 inches, it starts to plateau out and it comes down to a 60% let off. So from about 19 all the way to 29 inches, it's got 60% let off and it's very smooth on the back end. It's got a nice solid back wall if you want to actually hold. A lot of bow fishermen don't anchor and hold for very long. But it does have two draw stops that are solid. It takes about 30 seconds to change the draw length. You can go from 19 to 29 in about 30 seconds, 15 to 50 pounds. It's fast. It hits hard, shoots great, fits your hand very well, 3.8 pounds. So it's super light. It's got an integrated pick rail mounting system for the reel seat on the front of it, for our LVR reel seat. So it puts it super close to your hand and you can adjust the height of the reel. If you want it higher or lower, depending on your hand size. It comes with built-in tip wrenches into the riser, a line puller that's integrated into it. It comes with a shelf rest, so you don't have to worry about setting your windage when you're tuning it. You just set your knock point so that it shoots a bullet hole, and you're ready to go to the water. So, I mean, it comes in a kit. It comes in a bare bow, and we're super excited about that. It really is something totally different, and it doesn't have a lot of string pinch. It's super short compared to a lot of lever bows. But the way that the hybrid lever cams roll over, you actually have less string pinch than you typically do with an Oneida or an RPM or any of the other lever bows that are out there.
I love that design on that one, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks pretty crazy.
Segment. I think it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So those are most of the new products. Like I said, we didn't have a ton out that was new this year. We really focused on trying to streamline a few things and kind of refresh a few things, but we put a lot of energy into the hypodermic and into the DV.
Yeah, the bow fishing one's interesting to me because I feel like Muzzy has done a really good job of kind of getting into that marketplace. When I think of bow fishing, I think of a couple original brands. There wasn't many for a long time, and then I don't know where it happened or what year it happened. I don't know, Tim or Chris, if you remember, but there was a year where it started really getting really popular. And I don't know, it was like 2015 or 14.
It was kind of in our early days from what I remember. Yeah, it was like that 2013, earlier. 2014 time frame, right, where people really started getting into it.
Yeah, I mean, it started growing. Like from the time that I first started in 05 in Muzzy, and it was a sliver of our business. And then I think by the time when Faradine bought Muzzy, it was about 20% of the business. And it was like maybe 2% of the business when I started, up to 20%. So that was in 2012 that we got bought. So it was somewhere around 2010 to 2015. It grew pretty astronomically. Like we doubled in size in a year and a half at that point. Like every year we were doubling. So it was pretty dramatic in that quick growth. And it's one of those things. It kind of, as it grows, it's one of those things. You don't have to have a lease, and it's all public water for the most part. So guys can go out and do it anywhere. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to worry about somebody leasing your ground out from under you, or something like that. You can go do it. You can have fun. You take the kids, the wife, the buddies, whatever. You can have some music going, and you know, it's a very social activity. So like when you're in the blind, you're by yourself or the tree stand, but you know, when you're bow fishing, you're out there and you're giving your buddy crap, you know.
You had to worry about the noise and the scent and all that stuff, you know.
A lot cheaper overall.
Target-rich environment. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're spending, I think it's $549 is the MSRP for the bare bow on that, and I think it's $699 for the kit. And, you know, that sounds like a lot, but that's where flagship bows used to be 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah.
You're still half or a quarter of the price of a flagship bow now at that point. So, you know, you get into it and, you know, you put a lot of work throwing those bows and you shoot a lot. You know, I love taking my kids out. You know, I've got a 9-year-old now and an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old. And when we have this year, we went out to the spawn and they were wading around and chasing fish down and shooting them. And I just turned them. The first year I was kind of like, I was with them all the time. And this year they were like, all right, we're going over here. And they kind of figured out they can push fishing, you know, like herd fish to each other. And,
nice.
You know, like they had this whole strategy going on and they were just stacking them up. And I'm over here just watching, kind of, you know, smiling, being a proud dad that they've got it figured out. And they're, all they ask me is when can we go bow fishing the next time? You know, it's like, it's super, super cool. Cause the whole family goes out and does it. And, you know, we burn an afternoon and, go get some ice cream, go home, and wash all the fish stuff off of us.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it too because it opens up another season for the bow hunter, right? Oh, because, like you know, for us in Michigan, we have our fall, you know, fall deer, we have a spring turkey, but then in between that and even before then, there's not much going on. And that's where we started getting into it and dabbling into it is up in Michigan, they run some really big bow fishing tournaments.
Yeah, they sponsored that before, I believe, Muzzy.
And it's just an amazing time. It's, you know, they do some really cool events up here, and you know, especially when those carp are running and it's their breeding season in that May period, and it is just it's a fun time, man.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the GLBC, the Great Lakes Bow Fishing Challenge, is the largest tournament for a long time. And I'm hoping they could bring it back. I know they didn't have it this year, but I'd love to see it come back and maybe try to partner with those guys on bringing it back. So I actually reached out to them on it last year to see if we could help them bring it back, and had like a little bit of conversation, but never really got anywhere with it. But I would still love to bring it back, and it's kind of one of those staple tournaments that it's been around for so long that it's unique, right? Because you can have there's a lot of different ways that people shoot. It's over 2 days, so it's a really cool event.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Muzzy bow hunting, so Muzzy broadheads, what is the, I guess my question is, what is the best selling broadhead from Muzzy that you guys have, or at least in the top three?
So believe it or not, the 100 grain three blade, the original six pack. If you're counting number of broadheads that we sell, like it is still the number one. We have it, you know, we have it in a three pack at Walmart. We have it in a six pack everywhere else. And it is still our number one selling broadhead in quantity. Right behind that is our Trocar, the original Trocar, mm-hmm. that the 290. And then it's kind of behind that, it gets really, really close. The HB and the HBX, like the hybrid that we have, the Trocar hybrid, that one is pretty close in there. The MX3 still hangs in there pretty strong. And then the Muzzy 1 actually kind of comes up in there to play in that number 3 category too. We've got some retailers that really, really move that Muzzy 1 super well. Yeah. And so those are kind of your top three, I think, when it comes to that.
You still have the Shank?
We discontinued the Shank 2 years ago, I think it was.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
You know, it never really took off. Like, I mean, it did okay. But it just never took off. And I don't know if it was because it was a full expandable on the Muzzy side. And that was just, you know, the hybrid and the fixed blade are kind of where we live. It did okay. Like a lot of retailers brought it in, just didn't get a lot of sell through. So we kind of did away with that one, but we've looked at some other opportunities on, you know, trying to bring some of that technology, into a hybrid and different stuff.
Personally, I think one of the most underrated broadheads you guys have is the Muzzy 1. I feel like that broadhead is, I killed so many animals with that broadhead. It's crazy. And I shot a doe or something happened. I shot a doe with a compound bow, took the same, not the same head, but you know, the same, you know, pack. I took the other head, put it on a crossbow. And the next day I took a 46 yarder on a doe and just right through the heart. I mean, that thing, cause you get the light on the back of the knock, right? So it's like,
yep.
It was just the most perfect flight I've ever seen. And it hit that thing right in the heart. I mean, 46 yards. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow. I mean, I didn't know what I was expecting, to be honest, but it was just like, whew, it was like, and, but man, that thing's vicious. I love that.
It is. And you just have to be like, when you buy that type of head, you have to be, you know, going into the understanding that it's made to be sharpened on a flat stone, and it's got just a little bit different blade angle than what a replaceable blade is. And so if you have to be willing, if you're going to shoot it into foam, you've got to be willing to sharpen that thing, right? You just got to make sure that you're putting the time in to sharpen it. And that's what's going to make you, you know, and counting your strokes so that you don't get one side lighter than the other side. And, you know, you just got to have some discipline on it. But if you're willing to put it in, man, those things, you can use them for a long time. It's machined out of one solid piece of stainless steel. It's not a MIMT head like the competitors. And it is just absolutely a tank. You can't break that thing.
I'm not surprised on that three blade though, because the people I know who shoot that three blade still shoot that three blade today. From when I started bowing in the '90s, I mean, they still.
Oh yeah.
Even Brian, that's the one he goes and buys behind our back. He just goes and buys it all the time.
I was up at hunt camp. My buddy brought out his broadhead case, And sure shoot, first one he had in his case was the Muzzy three blade.
He killed so many deer with them. That's what he told me once. He's like, dude, I killed so many. Because there'd be times where I'd be like, oh, you know, if you want some rage or whatever, he'd be like, no, I'm good. I got this Muzzies. I'm like, oh my God, man.
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah. When we were down in Cartersville, when the office was down there, we had a guy from over in Alabama, and he was a nuisance game manager. And he had to, he had these airports that he had to constantly, and parks that he had to constantly harvest deer out of. And he sent us this one broadhead, and it was a 100 grain Muzzy three blade, and he had killed 87 deer with the same set of blades, just resharpening them.
Gosh.
I was like, yeah, let's retire that one. Like, you just going to put that one in the case. Like,
it's like a car going 500,000 miles nowadays, you know?
Oh, yeah. And he was like, can I just buy replacement blades? I don't need new ferrules or tips. And he's like, I just need replacement blades. I'm like, yeah, here's some replacement blades. And he's like, yeah, I'll probably get like 200 deer out of this set of six blades. I was like, perfect.
That's
crazy.
Just how durable they are, you know? I mean, they just hold together. And like you said, I mean, they've been around for so long, and a lot of people use them and just continue to use them. And you can still train them. You know, it's one of those things. Like, it's a great shooting broadhead. So.
Well, that's always the great debate, right? Mechanical or fixed blade, rage, muzzy, you know, what do you go with? And, you know, I always lean on the side of a fixed blade. That's just me traditionally and what I've done. And it's never gone wrong for me, right? And there's just something about them that it just cuts down for me mentally. It helps me hunt better because I feel more confident with that fixed blade.
Well, that's what
it's nothing more than mental, honestly.
No, it isn't. It's 100% mental. And people ask me, like, oh, you've got the selection. You know, we had Whack'em, we've got Muzzy, we've had Rocky Mountain Heads, you know, a plethora of different broadheads that I could choose. And I honestly said, there's not a single broadhead that we sell that I would not hesitate to go into the woods with. Now, what I'm hunting and where I'm hunting is going to dictate that a little bit, because there is a broadhead for every situation and every setup, right? That's why we have a lot of different ones. But you have to be mentally confident. Like, if you are shooting your bow and you're just not confident in the broadhead for whatever reason, if it's not sharp enough, if you don't feel like it's strong enough, if it's not tuning well, and you're just not 100% confident in it, if anything goes wrong, the first thing that's in your mind is, dang it, it was that broadhead.
It was the broadhead.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim, that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters' 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
You're absolutely right.
It was that broadhead. It's the broadhead's fault that I shot it right in the butt. You know, like, you know,
it couldn't have been me. It had to have been the broadhead. Yeah.
You know, if I was shooting a fixed blade, that would, you know, and I hit that limb, it would have made it all the way through, right? Yep. You know, like, whatever it is, it's always the broadhead's fault because the broadhead kind of consummates the kill, right? It's the piece that
contact,
that has to, you know, exactly, right? And it, if it doesn't work properly, and that's why a lot of people just love the fixed blade because they're like, oh, it's going to work, right? And, you know, the same thing could be said, you know, rage, it's one of those things that, you know, how many years ago was a two-blade, three-quarter-inch broadhead, you know, back in the 70s, that a lot of guys shot two-blade, three-quarter-inch broadheads, right? That was something that was a real thing with a tiny little set of bleeders on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you shoot that through and the lungs, and you're going to get a blood trail, and you're going to have it, you know, it's going to die within 100 yards. And even if it didn't open, like, you could super glue it shut, and you could still kill a deer with it like that because it's still got that three-quarter by quarter or almost half inch blade on the front of it, right? So it's just one of those things that it's got to be confidence. You got to be confident in whatever equipment you're using, and if you're not, you just need to figure out what's going to give you that confidence. That's why a lot of people search around for stuff, right? They want to feel like they want, like, oh, if I make a bad shot, what's going to give me the best chance? And it's like, okay, well, if you're the guy that hugs the leg, you know, a fixed blade's probably going to give you a better shot of getting through the shoulder. You know, like, it's one of those things that, you know, if you hit it square in the shoulder and you're not shooting a really high poundage bow, it's probably not going to matter. It doesn't matter which one you're shooting because you're not going to get through if you hit it dead square in the shoulder.
What comes up more and more nowadays that I hear is this conversation around crossbow and broadhead.
Yep.
And, you know, it really almost gets dictated by the crossbow at some point. And I say that because I've run into this situation with multiple people that I've talked to, and I've seen it myself, actually, on one of the crossbows that I was shooting. The way that they design the bolt length to the rail, when it comes off that rail, some of them come off and there's it's past the rail by 2 inches. Other ones are right at the end, right? And some of them go in the foot and there's like, you know, 2 inches of play within that foot. And then some of them are wider. And we run into the situation where you put a broadhead on it that's too big for the crossbow and you need to switch over to a mechanical so it's shorter and more compact to even shoot it out of a crossbow. So, I mean, that's a big factor that I keep seeing over and over again in the crossbow industry.
Yeah, it really is. Like, you, sometimes you have to, if you want to shoot a certain broadhead, you have to shoot a longer bolt, you know, like some of them that are 20-inch bows, you can shoot a 22-inch bolt because it puts it out past that little cavity you're talking about on the end. Or we have guys that, you know, they'll index them, right? So they'll actually take their inserts out of their bolts and they'll actually screw the broadheads into the bolts and then they'll put glue on them and actually index them where they fit in there the way they're supposed to. Like, there's one way that they'll usually work. If the threads don't line up right, you just can't use that bolt, right? So they'll take it. But there's all kinds of situations like that because you're exactly right. That cavity on the front of it. And a lot of crossbow manufacturers want you to use an expandable because they're so fast. It takes a lot less tuning to deal with. But, man, it is, you know, some of them have such hard launch speeds. You really got to make sure that you're shooting an expandable that's rated for crossbows because the last thing you want to do is have a pre-deployment, right?
Yep. And that's that mental game, right? If I go with the fixed blade, I don't have to worry about it opening, right? It's already open.
It's already open. Exactly. Yep. And I think that's really kind of, you led right into that. Like, that's where the hybrid comes into play, right? Like, it 100%. Gives you the best of both worlds. That Trocar HB, it gives you 2 5/8 total cutting diameter, which is pretty gigantic. And then you've got a set of 1-inch bleeder blades, and then the expandables, when they come out, are 3/4 inches closed before going to 1 5/8 open. And then if they encounter heavy bone, they're actually designed to fold back down into that closed position to go through the bone. So you get the performance of a fixed blade head when you're talking about penetration. But there's no way that there's no way they can pre-deploy because you have to press on the front of them to get the blades to come out. And then, you know, they just leave an enormous hole when you go through. They tune well, they shoot great off crossbows. And that's one, like I was saying, you know, those two heads there, when you start talking about crossbows, it's crazy how many guys shoot those and how much they love them because it kind of gives you the best of both worlds.
Yeah. I can see that 100%. You know, 100%. You don't have to worry about, like I said, there's been guys got up to hunt camp, thought that they could throw on, they bought a new crossbow, thought they can throw on the same broadhead that they used on their last one. And all of a sudden I'm breaking out my bin of goodies because they don't have anything that'll fit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You're like me this year in Illinois. So funny story. You know, whenever I go on a hunt, I always take extra stuff, right? Because I mean, I'm always going to encounter somebody that's like, oh, this, that, you know, I hate this, or I've never tried that, I've never trusted it. I'll cut a pack of heads open here. Go shoot them. You know, put one on here. I've never tried lighted knocks before. All right, here, let's go out to the range, put some lighted knocks on there. Let's see what you like on them. I've always wanted to try handheld release. Well, here, I've got four different ones here. Try these, see if you like them. You know, like I always keep stuff like that in the truck and or in the case whenever I'm traveling to go hunting. And my one buddy had invited me up to Southeast Minnesota, and I got up there, and I was going from there to Illinois to I think Pike County. And the last day came on the Minnesota, and I sat in a tower blind kind of right close to the house, and had a call at like 9 o'clock. So I was at 8:45. I'm getting out of the blind. I put my quiver back on my bow. I get down, kind of put it over my shoulder on the sling. I'm walking out, walk through this cut bean field, get to the truck, open the truck, put my bow in the back seat in the case, close it, whatever, go in and get my stuff, throw it in the back of the truck and get on the call, get past my point of the call. And then I had, you know, then I'm driving for the next, whatever, 7 or 8 hours. I get to Illinois, I open my case up, and my quiver's not there. Where's my quiver? I have three extra arrows that I've been practicing with. And I happen to have two packs of Rage chisel tips that I had just had in there for whatever. And one of the guys there had a crossbow quiver in his. So I actually zip tied the crossbow quiver to my backpack.
Yeah.
With these three extra arrows in it. Cause I'm usually the guy supplying everything. And now I'm like bumming quivers off people. And like, I'm like, God. And we still don't know where it went. Like, it's not in the blind. I put it on. And I think when I came out of the blind, I was walking down the steps and it was super windy. And I think it twisted off and it fell down in the brush underneath the blind. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. It's a $150 quiver with like $300 worth of arrows and broadheads in it. I'd kind of like to find it if you happen to run across it, you know. Just don't want the farmer to run across the entire quiver of arrows when he's going into plant this spring. But so it's kind of one of those things. But you run into all kinds of different people at hunting camp that have never tried something or that want to try something. It's crazy. It does come down to confidence, though. If they don't trust it, if they don't try it, it's really a mental game. They have to be 100% confident in everything that they have in their that's in their assortment.
Yep.
Yeah, Chris, what would you say is your most out of all the brands Faradine has? Because there's a bunch, obviously. But what would you say is the most underestimated one or underrated one that maybe needs more attention, but yet is still a powerhouse?
That's hard. Maybe Carbon Express. I don't think people understand how many arrows we still sell and how many crossbow bolts we still sell. Because there's a lot of people that buy arrows singly at major retailers. You know, like the guy that he's bought the same type of arrow from a bin, you know, year after year after year, and he buys two arrows every year. And there's a lot of those guys out there that still do that, right? They've got a three or a four arrow quiver, and if they go through two arrows, they don't buy six more arrows. They go buy two more arrows, right? I mean, like that's a lot of our customer base. You know, that things are tight out there. They don't have, you know, $75 or $100 to go drop a half dozen arrows. Like they're buying $6, $8, $10 arrows, two at a time, to go out there and do that. And we still sell a lot of those. I was trying to think, you know, the other things that are like underestimated. Rocky Mountain Sights is probably one. I think we sell a lot of Rocky Mountain Sights that are, it's just a super solid sight system for an affordable price. And, you know, it's really good. And then maybe Axe Crossbows. You guys did the Axe Crossbow test with us last year.
Yep.
Right.
You know, that has actually caught on in the last 3 or 4 months really well. Like we're actually taking a lot of orders for them at ATA show this year. It was a slow start to it last year. You know, we wanted to get the word out there that it was durable.
Yeah.
And I think all total, everything with misshipping and everything, I think we got 7 out of the first 1,200. That's all we've had is any issue is 7.
Wow.
And that's, I think two of those were people that, puts a cocking rope on the sight mounts, where the sight mount or the scope mounts to it, and snapped off the those two screws up there. Like, yeah, the warning sticker that says "Do not place here" should have probably been a clue. You don't put the rope there, but hey, that's okay. And then there's, and then I think the other one was like the guy cross threaded the bolt when he was putting the front end on it. You know, like it's, you know, it's just crazy how durable that bow is. And I love the fact that it got faster with you guys when you were shooting it. Like once you got
it was interesting.
In,
we were surprised. Better. Yeah,
we thought the same thing. And you know, I'll be honest, that bow blew me away, to be honest. And for the record. Faraday asked us to do, they originally asked us to do 1,500 shots. So I was like, hell no, there's no way I can do 1,500 shots, even though I love the idea. Because at first I was like, 500, that's no big deal. But then after we started doing it, I was like, this is a lot of work. Like, this sucks.
When we first talked about it, I was like, I'll send you a target and like, you can just shoot it over and over. And we're like, I'm going to send you a whole thing. And you're like, that's gonna take a lot. Like, you're going to have to shoot an entire target full before we go pull them. And like,
we're it looked cool, to crank
it. Oh yeah, it did. Like the it was crazy by the time you get them in there. You guys didn't wreck that many bolts either, which is kind of cool because
I thought we'd wreck a lot more bolts than that, to be honest. But and thanks for sending all the extra bolts because it made it a lot easier than having to go down every few minutes because you know we just have piles of them next to the crossbow to keep loading and firing and loading. And so what we started doing is the first day I think I did 200 shots in a day and a half by myself just coming here and filming. Then I said, dude, my arm's really starting to hurt. Like, it started, like, you know, when you, because you don't think of it, because plus we also had it up here because we had to have it in a specific spot. We didn't want to move it, so we had to crank it like this. And so then I had Jamie come over. I'm like, hey, you got to do at least 100 shots today. Like, you have to. And so I was like, I'm filming all this, and I'm walking around doing stuff, and he's, you know, boom, boom. And I'm like, make sure you hit the button. I mean, so really, the crossbow did, like, what did we say, Tim, 516?
Yeah.
Did more than 500 because we missed hitting the button multiple times
to count the shot on camera.
So it really did over that, and I guarantee you it would do way more than that because it looked practically brand new at the end of that 500%.
I bet you can get a lot more out of that too.
Oh, that
we tested all of the initial samples that we got to 1,000 before we changed the string, I think, at 500. The one we didn't change the string on, I think it got into the 700s before it started really fraying. Like, you know, if you wax it and take care of it, it's gonna last a long time. It's kind of, you know, we put it through as much torture as you can possibly put it through, right? I mean, most of those crossbows, I mean, even if even if they're decocking it, shooting the bolt into the ground, I mean, you think about it, most guys hunt, what, maybe 15, 20 sets where they have to decock it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's... And if they're shooting it and getting really comfortable with it, making sure all their stuff's done, maybe 50 or 75 shots to get dialed in, right? Like where they're comfortable shooting on a regular basis to, you know, maybe say 150, 200 shots in a season. You're getting, you know, three seasons out of it, 2.5 seasons before you're having to actually change the string on one. And that's pretty incredible. And you know, if they're only going two or three sits, you know, if it's a short season or they luck up and get their buck early, you know, it's even less than that. So that crossbow is going to last you a long, long time.
Yeah, it's very durable. I was real happy with that crossbow, and the price is right. I mean, for the consumer who's looking for a good price, you know, good price crossbow. Of course, there's other brands that are way higher, up to $4,000, which is incredible for the crossbow market. Right. But in this case, you know, I personally, like, this is one of the bows I recommend now after we did the test because I felt very confident in the bow after that because I was like, man, this bow is awesome, you know, for the price. Yep. It's an awesome deal. But there are a lot of cheaper bows I don't really recommend as much, not from you guys, but other brands. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, and we've over the years, we've had crossbows explode all over the place. I mean, Tim had one where he was leaving a hunt to hunt and the arrow, just because the tongue wasn't tight enough, it like slid forward just a little bit, and then he went to fire it to, you know, shoot in the ground or whatever. It went
enough for the safety to still, for that, you know, for the dry engaged. Fire to still be engaged.
Yep.
But it misfired the bolt and blew the whole thing up.
Yeah,
when there's that much room between the dry anti-dry fire and the actual string, there's still a lot of room for that to happen. You know, my daughter, she shot the first animal with that crossbow last year that we had. We went to Canada and she shot a bear up there, and that was pretty cool, you know. And then come back and she shot a deer. Yeah, I think she shot a deer with it maybe last year. And then my other daughter this year shot like 4 deer with it, I think. And you know, for the kids, it's awesome because it's got the adjustable stock on it, the optic on it. It's, you know, with the lighted reticle and the pre-dotted out to the different distances, they can shoot a ton of different scenarios in the yard. And you know, we'll just walk around, set the we got a bog pod we carry around, put it on. You can leave it set in there. You can crank it back with the quiet crank, and you know, it makes it super easy. And it's, you know, it's like 44 yards. Okay, there you go. Shoot it for 44 yards on the I have our Glendale crossbow target, and you know, I'll let them all shoot it at that same distance and different angles, quartering away, you know, and it's almost like it's from a tree stand. We've got a pretty good from our area where my targets are up to where we shoot at. It's about a 10 or 12 foot drop in elevation. It's on a little side hill. And so it's really cool that they can do it. I make them do it sitting down, standing up, all the different scenarios that they could be in. And so when it came time, like you just know that they're gonna make a good shot because they practice all the different scenarios on it. And you know, it's super safe. Like I said, you don't have to worry about them getting their fingers up in there. The way that quiver's on there and it doesn't come off, it almost makes like an extra hand guard, so you can't get your thumb up there in the way. You know, so it's just, there's a lot of really good things about that bow that make it super safe. And you know, especially when you're talking with your kids, you gotta have confidence in it, right? You gotta have confidence that nothing's 100%. Gonna go wrong, because you know that, you know, even though you coach them and you do all the things, like they don't know, you know, if something's not going, if it's not shooting, if it's not this or not that, like, got to make sure the bolt's all the way in there. You got to make sure it's indexed correctly. And, you know, just trying to teach them all that is a big deal. But, man, they do really well. And honestly, I think it's helped them. They're both on a shooting team this year. And they're just killing it with, like, my one daughter with the 22. And she's probably put more rounds through a crossbow than she has a gun. So. Wow.
Well, that's the thing. I think it, you know, crossbows in general, they've helped the industry – get kids more engaged and keep people in it longer as well.
Bring people in.
I mean, especially, and forget about the injury. Everybody, you know, all my shoulder hurts. Yeah, I get it. But for me, it's that weekend warrior thing, right? Where I don't have the ability to go out there and shoot, you know, 20 shots through a compound bowl. Mm-hmm. Once I get that crossbow sighted in, I feel confident with it. I can go out on that weekend and I'm still going to feel confident and it excites me. Right.
Yep,
so I think there's a confidence thing with it too, but it's for that weekend warrior. I think it's a perfect scenario.
But it's not also it's not overpowered. Some of the crossbows now are becoming too powerful, and I feel like I have no issue with the brands who are doing some of it, but my concern is that it's a lot of power that's not necessary. And when you're doing 100%. That, it could cause it to be more dangerous in the sense of if something goes wrong, you're talking a lot more pressure compared to 400 and less. You know.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, we had one last year. The guy shot a with one of these higher end crossbows, shot a deer at 45 yards. The bolt went through it and traveled an additional 200 plus yards.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
That's pretty crazy. A lot of power. And you know, the other thing about that is, I'll say, you know, they started off with the crossbow, and both of them on that shooting team are both in our. They shoot archery and. It's their first year shooting it, and they're both two of the strongest archery shooters. One's she's 10, she'll be 11 in February, and she's shooting 186 out of 200 as her average right now. And my older one's shooting 193 out of 200. So like, that's their like they're what 3 weeks in, and that's their averages right now. So on that's the middle school team,
yeah.
So it's not that they don't you know, a lot of fear is that they won't transition over to archery. It's just, you know, they're both shooting in the mid 20s in poundage right now. So maybe my older one might be up to to 30s, but I just want them to shoot comfortable weights. You know, like I'm not pushing them to get to a hunting weight until they're ready to get to a hunting weight. I just want them to enjoy archery, right? I don't want them to be like, oh, it's so hard. I just want them to have fun. Right?
Yeah. I think having those options are important. I mean, you think about the industry too, there's been a lot of push, not push, but there's been a lot of industry movement into traditional archery again. right? Mm-hmm. I think it's that you want to switch it up every now and again, you know, and not mm-hmm. have the same type of hunt every single time, maybe a different challenge. And I think it's just helpful to have the different type of tools out there to be able to do.
You picking up a compound, Tim?
I might. I don't know about compound. I actually would love to do traditional.
Okay.
So when I was messing around with the Deviant this year, the Muzzy Deviant, it is so smooth and it doesn't have finger pinch. I actually just put a whisker biscuit on it and went no sights and a glove with full length airs with feathers and some old Muzzy Phantoms I had laying around.
I love that.
That's a good
idea. I got close, man. I had a doe that was, she was well within range and she was just walking towards me and eating in a little field. And she did the whole 180 all at one time. She didn't turn broadside. She just did the straight 180 and walk away. Yeah. And then I had to put it back together into bow fishing mode to go to some meetings. And I didn't get it back together after Christmas, like before season closed. But man, you talk about fun out in the yard, just shooting with fingers and instinctive. Yeah. And it's not hard on your shoulder. The reason I did it was I tore my rotator cuff in October. Lifting weights, and I was trying to nurse it, and I was like, man, it doesn't hurt at all when I draw this thing. And so I actually went that route this year for the last half of the season after I got back from Illinois. I was like, man, I can't make myself do it. You know, you're shooting to try to stay in form, and every time, like you said, when you get done, you're just like, man, my shoulder hurts. So I kind of went a little bit different route. I was like, oh, this would be pretty cool if I could pull this off. No sights, just finger, you know, just shooting fingers, and in a pretty basic setup, but
it's a lot cheaper that way.
it is a lot cheaper that way. And I'm actually having a longbow built, like a custom hickory longbow. I'm going to shoot off my knuckle.
Nice.
I'm going to start off with carbon arrows, but the guy that's building it for me is wanting me to go river cane and like flint nap to just kind of play with it. I don't know if I can do it or not. You know, like I haven't killed one with a longbow, so I'd like to start off with some like tested equipment. But you know, there's always that progression, right? Like I still think it would be pretty cool to do that at least once.
100%.
But I don't think I could do it forever because you just limit yourself. You know, it's got to be 10, 12, 15 yards like max. It's about all I would feel comfortable with. But man. It would be kind of like one of those, like going back to your roots kind of thing. That would be kind of neat.
You got to get yourself a nice flannel and a bucket and sit behind a tree and that's it, man. That's the way they used to do it. Right.
Oh, I can't, I
had the flannel.
I did kill a deer with a rifle this year, old school. I literally just walked down into this spot on my lease and I hadn't been there in a while. And I was like, there's a ton of sign here. I took a folding chair, sit between three little trees, raked me out of the spot. Like, that's how we used to hunt when I was a kid, right? Like, I mean, we hunted public land, so you couldn't put a tree stand up. And I sat down, and I mean, like 45 minutes in, this little buck that he was a 4x2, right? He was never going to be a whole lot of anything, but he pops out, and I ended up shooting him, and he almost ran me over. When I say he almost ran me over, I had my backpack had blood trail on it. I swear. He ran between me and the tree. There was the three trees. He ran between me and one of the trees that I was sitting like amongst.
Wow.
I thought he was coming. I thought he was coming right at me. And
he was coming back for payback. He's about to
ram you. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. He jumped down to the creek. And when he come out of it, he was just like, he didn't know. Like I'm sitting there wearing orange, you know, in this chair. And he literally, it was like, he didn't even see me. He just ran straight at me. And I stood up, like I was to the point where I stood up to get out of the way, and he just kind of went between me and like he said there was blood on my backpack. I'm like, whoa. He went about another 10 yards and tipped over, and I'm like, all right, well.
That happened to me on a hog hunt, and I thought I was dead. Yeah. Shot the hog, it ran straight at me, and I'm just, I was shooting a crossbow. There's no reloading, there's no nothing.
There's no reloading.
So you're just sitting there watching this happen, and 3 feet in front of me, the thing turned, and I'm like, oh, thank God. I was about ready to jump on this thing, but I thought I was a dead man.
Right. You know, it's one of those, it's just one of those things, man. You just don't ever know. Right. But
yeah,
it's like back to your roots. Like you said, you know, just sitting on the ground and, you know, I think probably the first 2 years I bow hunted, I just made little brush blinds, you know, like that's all I would do. I would just walk back into public ground. It is.
Until it starts raining. that I'd like to be in a nice little rhino blind, but you know.
Yeah, or when a doe walks by like in the brush and then comes downwind of you.
Yeah.
And starts blowing. That's the other time it would be nice to be in a tree, you know, like that's the downside of it, but yeah, I mean there's definitely something to getting back to your roots.
Love it.
All right, Chris. Well, hey, man, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. Next time you come out, we'll talk about the other brands because this will take too long to go into the other ones. But there's so much more at Faradine, which makes it exciting. And there's so many more things to talk about that I have questions on when it comes to all the other brands. So enjoy the SHOT Show. I see you got some sun, which is amazing. I haven't seen the sun in a while, so that's really cool.
Yeah, it's back there somewhere. I've been trying to stay where it's not directly in my eyes when I'm out here. And hopefully the construction wasn't too loud on you guys. I think they fired up a metal saw at one point here. I was trying to walk around where it was a little quieter.
Didn't hear it at all.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything.
Perfect.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Savor the season knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS for 15% off.